Pause I Am Radio with your host, Robert Brining, sharing stories from across the United States and around the world. To join the conversation, call 929-477-3572. That's 929-477-3572. Each week, we'll bring you our exclusive HIV scoop with Josh Robbins and your positive message from Rise Up to HIV and Kevin Maloney. Your weekly dose of hope. Pause I Am Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to Pause I Am Radio. We are back live. This is Robert, and I'm joined by, of course, my fabulous friend, Brady. Brady, how are you?
Hey, coming to you live from Nashville. I'm doing fantastic.
Ooh, Nashville, how's the weather over there?
It's been it was a very bright morning, but the clouds are slowly moving in. It looks like we're going to have some storms this afternoon.
I'll tell you what, over here in Philly, we've had some real humid and mucky, nasty thunderstorm days, and it's like not, I want my fall. Where's fall?
It's
you
coming.
Know, I don't know. Do you have fall in Nashville?
We do. We have a beautiful fall in Nashville, but you can feel it in the air. It's slowly creeping in, and I know that we're ready for it because this heat has been insane this year.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's not creeping anywhere in over here. It still feels like we're in the middle of the summer. It's crazy hot in Philly. But, you know, that's one of the reasons I love actually living in Philly is the change of the seasons. I get all of it. You know what I mean? We get the spring, we get the summer, we get the winter, we get the fall. You know, we get all of it. It's all completely different. And just that experience, I couldn't imagine moving to a different area, kind of outside of that, you know, like, I don't know, climate network. You know what I mean? And being confused and having, like, hot in December. You know what I mean? Kind of
absolutely.
Being somewhere where it's completely the opposite.
Right. And then, for those of us suffering from chronic illnesses, where we live, the weather has a huge impact on our daily lives. So where we live with a chronic illness is it's a big thing. It's a big deal.
That is true. So today we're kind of just sitting in and doing a show of hot topics. Brady's kindly accepted to sit in and join me, and we're going to just make him a permanent part of the show eventually going forward, so I'm sure he's aware of all that, but since, everything's going great here, so I just want to, you know, again, thank you for joining me today, but we're going to, you know, talk about all these great news things that are happening. We're going to be playing the scoop later. I have an announcement later. So there's a lot of cool things happening in my world. Brady, how is everything in your world before we move on to the news?
Things are moving along. One thing I do want to touch on right now, starting off, there is a new study that was just released from some UK researchers from in Edinburgh, from the University of Edinburgh, showing that those of us living with HIV, our risk for heart disease is doubled. And going through and reading some of this research and what has come from it is kind of alarming. They still don't know if it's just due to age, those of us aging now with HIV, but they're also showing that some of it is due to our medications, increasing fat levels in the blood, which affects our body's ability to regulate sugar levels. It's a pretty intricate study, and I highly recommend anyone who has the time to read more about it. But being 42 myself and becoming part of that aging population living with HIV.
Girl, you're only 42? I thought you were so much younger than that.
Please, don't let this face fool you. Don't let this face fool you. It's really kind of alarming. I would like to look more into also, I wonder what the intersectionality is in knowing with this increase in heart risk. I know that our community, has a heightened and is more susceptible to alcoholism, to drug use. And I'm wondering how some of that in our youth is also now playing into, as we're growing older, kind of like the implications it's having on our cardiovascular system and what we could do more to on preventative measures, on the preventative front, to keep this from, to curtail it, to stop it before it becomes an even bigger issue.
you know, that's kind of scary. But, I mean, it's not going to stop me from, you know, taking my medicine or, you know, being responsible. Like, you know, I don't know. Like you said, we're aging, and that's kind of a lot of new things are coming out, and we're getting concerned because they've never had somebody who was HIV positive who lived this long, at, you know what I mean, at this age to do a study on.
Right. So it's interesting that now
we have all these different things coming up that they're so concerned about because and they're linking it to possible HIV, but we're just living longer like everyone else. Like what else? I wonder what else like these people who were involved in the study were doing outside of the, you know, being HIV positive that may have increased their risk in, you know, heart disease. I wonder what the back part of it was.
That's where my mind is going as well, Robert. I'm very curious to see, you know, what kind of major public health implications this is going to have, not just for those of us here in the United States, but also, you know, globally, for people now that we are living longer with HIV. You know, I'm approaching that threshold of and it's got my mind going. I think it incorporates into every part of my life. You know, it's a little bit harder to get out of bed in the mornings. It takes me a little bit longer to get going in the mornings. And I know that I'm looking forward to my bed at night a lot more than I used to as a youngster. But there's lots of new stuff coming out there.
Especially with us growing older, you know, I sit back and I used to stay up all night and, you know, be able to go out and have a good time and get home at 3 o'clock in the morning and be at work at 8 a.m. You know what I mean? And now, like, I can't even stay awake past like 9:30.
Right.
Like,
I don't know.
I used to be able to even watch the news.
Exactly. If you see me out past 10:30 at night, know that inside in my mind, I am just craving my bed. I am.
Right. So that information on that source about the HIV doubles heart disease risk, that is actually found on Health 24?
Yes, sir. Yeah, health24.com is where I was reading about that heart disease risk. And then I also want to bring up, this looks really promising and really interesting. MTV is doing a documentary called Quiet Heroes. And it looks like they're featuring five HIV positive people who have had help overcoming the stigma of living with HIV. And it looks as if that while they're interviewing these five individuals and speaking to how these other people helped them through their diagnosis, their initial diagnosis, they're getting to hear the stories and then they surprise them with these individuals. So that's going to be coming out, and it sounds like it's going to be very interesting to read these or to watch these emotional testimonials and to see how others made it through their diagnosis. Because I know, like, back in the day when AIDS first hit the United States, there wasn't the kind of isolation and the feelingness of alone, because the community came together very strongly and supported those when they were first diagnosed. And it's been a recent unfortunate trend that, due to stigma, that once you're diagnosed, you do feel more isolated and more alone. But that's why we've seen like the resurgence of so many networks and people living with HIV networks that are strengthening and coming together and seeing that reemergence of community that kind of had, for some reason, kind of fizzled out within a few years of the initial diagnosis. So I'm really curious to see what this documentary has in store for us.
So explain again what the video is called. Again, it's called Quiet Heroes.
Quiet Heroes. Yes, Quiet Heroes. It's going to be on Logo.
It is right. And explain it to the person. These videos that they're going to be posting are short videos of individuals who are positive, who are thanking people who have helped them along the way during their diagnosis.
Correct. Yes, it's going to be five individuals. Correct.
So you're like showing up like Publishers Clearinghouse, like, hey, here I am. Sure, this is John Quinones, and this is What Would You Do?
Right. It looks like it's going to be very emotional and very powerful. I'm very looking forward to seeing how MTV and Logo puts this forward and how it comes across. So
that's interesting, because I was sitting there thinking and reflecting about myself, like, who could I, you know, really dank, you know, and do if I wanted to do something like that, like, who would I want to surprise? And it's weird because yesterday was actually my Uncle Paul's 50th birthday, surprise birthday party. So happy birthday, Uncle Paul. My Uncle Paul is an awesome guy, and he's somebody who, it was my dad's brother. So it's on my dad's side. And when my dad was sick, and when, you know, I was diagnosed and I came to my mom with a drug problem, you know, my uncle was the person who got me hooked up with Narcotics Anonymous and got me to go to meetings. He took me to my first meeting. He found me my sponsor, you know what I mean? And I went to my meetings for a year, you know what I mean? I got clean. But, like, during that time, my dad passed away, and my uncle kind of stepped in and, like, was there supportive emotionally for my mom, because I couldn't be there because I was still, you know, getting clean, going to meetings and things like that. So to wind this up is I was at the surprise party yesterday, and, you know, I was sitting there thinking to myself, and I had a beer or two or three, you know, and I wanted to write something more in the card, but it was like last minute I found out about the party. So I sat my uncle down and I was like, look, I want to talk to you. And we're in the corner in the kitchen, right? And I started telling him, like, how I felt, like, how, like, thank you so much. I've never really sat down and said thank you and told you how much I appreciate you for, you know, stepping in and being the man when I couldn't, you know, to help my family, and then taking care of me and introducing me to NA and getting me clean and helping me. And he's like, you helped yourself. I'm like, no, you know. And then we started crying, and my mom's in across the kitchen, and she's, like, talking to my uncle's wife, my Aunt Janet. And they're like, look at, you know, I don't know what my son and your husband are talking about, but it's intense because they're both about to cry. I mean, it was kind of a moment that I had with my uncle, and it was just really cool because I never got to thank him, and that's kind of what this, you know, Quiet Heroes is about. So that's awesome to see other people play out like that.
I'd like to ask you, not really a topic, but do you find that your HIV advocacy work helps you stay sober?
Do I feel that my HIV? That's a good question. I want to say,
because my, you know, I recently my new partner Joshua, he is also in the program, in the recovery program, and working the program or the AA program, and I, in the AA program and NA, they talk about, you know, reaching out to those still suffering and those, you know, still using. And that will help keep you sober. And I know that in my, you know, 3.5 years of sobriety now, I haven't so much worked or reached out to other alcoholics or others still using, but I have found that my work in HIV advocacy has kind of taken that place and has helped me stay in my sobriety. So I'm just,
yeah,
I'm,
it's kind of become like a new addiction.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But I think it's the getting out of oneself and being of service to others has in a way, or I know it has kept me sober.
Right. Well, I think a lot of the times I used because I hated who I was. I was ashamed of who I was. I wanted to fit in, you know what I mean? I wanted to be loved, you know what I mean? So I would kind of, because, you know, then I confused sex with love, and you know what I mean? So for me, so yeah, but like it's all people's places and things, like they say. And for me, when you're involved with people who are activists, like our group of friends, our tribe, all our people, you know, when you're there,
right,
if you're somebody who's in recovery, I feel like we're the type of people who are adults and we respect that. To a point, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's not something where you can go and be like, feel like you can't say that. Where, like, maybe if you're hanging out with somebody, some friends in high school, and they're having a drink, you may feel awkward to say, I'm in recovery. You know what I mean?
Right.
I just feel like there's more sense of, like, security and like, feeling a part of. You know what I mean? To where we feel like we don't have to drink if we don't want to.
Right, there's less judgment. There's so much less judgment, and
Yeah.
With
it's all
within our pride. I get that. Yeah.
And a lot of the times we do it because I felt like I didn't have a purpose, or I felt lost. So, but I kind of feel like I found myself within this community and doing this work, so I don't feel like I need to turn and not face my reality anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, beautifully said. I totally get that. Totally get that.
Yeah, that's kind of that's an interesting thing. Interesting. I have to think about that. Was a good thought. So I just want to let people know real quick, if you're listening and want to call in, have a question or comment, 929-477-3572, or you can tweet us at PodsIAmRadio or any such connection. But go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was just saying, yeah, that's the beautifully said and a topic that we could possibly explore more in the future.
Yeah, because I know, like, recovery is something a lot of people, you know, in general, but who are HIV positive, you know, deal with, especially after a diagnosis. I mean, for me, it was like, that was when it was the strongest, especially after I stopped. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it was just I'm not myself.
I mean, I was already in the grips of addiction and my alcoholism at the time, but my AIDS diagnosis just added, you know, white gasoline to that already raging fire, and just helped push me on down the road of my addiction even further. So I'm just blessed and happy to be here today, 3.5 years sober. So, and I know
that's
that there
awesome.
Are others
Congrats.
Out there, still out there though, and suffering, and it would be something more to, or a great topic to explore more in the future.
Yeah, we've done a few on recovery, so I know we've had a couple people speak about it. We actually did one show just strictly on meth and HIV, and I remember we had, because for me, that was, the drug of choice that I was kind of involved in with that and you know, cocaine, but you kind of graduate from cocaine to meth, I guess, in some odd way. So,
right.
You know, that's kind of where
that
landed me. So I know that I did a show on that specifically, and I had an activist come on and share his story. And then I also had somebody from the organization, I believe they were in California. They were called Tweaker. It was tweaker.org. I believe they're still available or still up and running. I don't have to look it, but they were – I think it was like an outreach organization where you could contact them and get help.
We've got some fellow great advocates like Charles Sanchez and Mark King on his blog, My Fabulous Disease, have talked very openly and candidly about their meth addictions and how. And I know that for me personally, I do believe that my meth use was a direct vehicle for me contracting HIV back in the day. And it's not really something I've talked much about, but from reading and following Charles and Mark, it's something I'm feeling more comfortable opening up about and talking about because it is a plague, especially in our community of hypersexuality. Unfortunately, it needs to be discussed more, and so I'm very proud to see Mark and Charles and other advocates talking about this issue.
Yeah, it's important, and they usually, like you said, play hand in hand with people being newly diagnosed and all that. But yeah, tweaker.org is actually still off, so if people want to go there, it's a really interesting site. Has really cool graphics. If I could just read some of it on the site, it says, "We're here because we know that gay guys use crystal meth. We're not here to promote meth or glorify meth use. We're not here to condemn, or criticize meth use. Instead, we're here to provide information, support, and resources." So, you know what I mean? It's a pretty cool organization, so people have to go check it out, tweaker.org.
Good deal.
Yeah. So, do you have one more headline or?
Oh, I have today.
Cool.
It's been a crazy week going back and forth from Little Rock to Nashville, but that's all the big hot topic. And I don't want to step on the toes of our other fellow great advocate, Josh Robbins. I know that we've got some news coming up from him in the HIV scoop that we can discuss after we hear his scoop.
Yes, yes. So I do also want to mention, I'll just put this out there because it's fun for me to say and talk about, but as people like you know, I collect these little thing called Funko Pops, right? These little vinyl collectibles that are pretty popular. Some are worth a lot of money, they're collectibles, whatever. Long story short is that they're coming out with a Freddie Mercury line and Queen line. So for those of you who are big fans, these are going to be, you know, pretty popular and something you might want to check out since Freddie's a, you know, icon that,
Robert,
you know, who's
HIV
positive.
Are you dropping birthday hints?
I'm just putting it out there. No, I already have that shit pre-ordered. Yeah. But I'm just putting it out there. It's kind of a cool thing that somebody might be interested in getting.
Those are cute. Those are cute. I'm seeing them rise in popularity ever since we were together at Healthy Voices and you introduced me to the whole Funko Pop thing. And I'm seeing
them
online.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Brady. They have always been there. You've just never noticed them and just scrolled right by them. So have I. For years I've done it, and now you're just really seeing them. My mom's like, they're everywhere. And, but I here's a funny story real quick. Before we go to the HIV scoop with Josh, is I was at work the other day, and you know, they do the popular ones that they do in these little vinyl figures are the ad icons. Right, so they do the serial ones. So they just came out with four new ones, and it was the Noid from the Domino's Pizza. Remember the Noid?
Domino's, yes.
Yeah, okay, so they had the Noid, Captain Crunch, Bazooka Joe, and Sugar Bear from Golden Crisps, right? So
I
they just came
it.
Out with them. Right, so I have this app you can track online. Right, you can have this app you can track online. You can track them online if they're in stock. So I woke my mom up out of bed and made her go and get them for me. It was hilarious. It was hilarious. She went and got them. That's how awesome my mom is. So, yeah, let's go ahead over to HIV Scoop with Josh Robbins. We'll be right back.
This is the all-new HIV Scoop with Josh Robbins, exclusively for Paws IM Radio. This week's buzzworthy sexual health news in under 2 minutes. Here's Josh Robbins with this week's HIV Scoop.
So what is going on, Robert? And you said that you were going to have Brady on today, right? Well, hello, Mr. Brady, for another HIV scoop exclusively for Paws IM Radio. I'm loving it. Well, so let's just get right into it. Veeve Healthcare announced positive headline results from its global Phase 3 ATLAS study of a long-acting injectable two-drug regimen for the treatment of HIV. According to a press release, ATLAS, which stands for Antiretroviral Therapy as Long-Acting Suppression, was designed to establish if adult participants living with HIV who had maintained viral suppression for at least 6 months on a daily oral combo maintained similar results of viral suppression with somebody that uses the injectable of only two drugs. This was the investigational two-drug long-acting injectable regimen, and then compared the two, basically. The study showed long-acting two-drug combo injected once a month had similar efficacy to a standard of care daily oral three-drug regimen at week 48. That's nice. That's real nice. The injectable treatment regimen met the primary endpoint for non-inferiority. Overall safety and virologic response to drug-resistant results for the injectable regimen were consistent with results from the other Phase 2 and Phase 3 studies. So that's good news, right? Okay. We're gonna accept that one. Here's something you're going to love. Five advocates launch a new phase of Positively Fearless campaign, a message of empowerment and determining, deciding, and living out your purpose and promise. You can find it all out at positivelyfearless.com.
Together, we are facing every challenge
and celebrating every success.
We are looking toward the future with purpose and promise.
And we're showing others
what is possible
when we
are positively fearless.
I mean, that is just hot. I'm not going to lie, that is hot, hot, hot. Anyway, the five advocates that are launching this new phase of Positively Fearless, they are our own Robert, J-Love, Serrano, Daniel Garza, Guy Anthony, and Kamaria. So congratulations to them. I'm Josh Robbins. This was your HIV Scoop.
And there you have it. Thank you, Josh. For more information on Josh and HIV Scoop, you can go to imstilljosh.com. So that's what I was away working in New York. I was speaking about, it was probably about a month and a half ago, 2 months when I was away, and I was working on a project that I, you know, was kind of quiet about. Is, you know, first let me put this disclaimer out there before I say anything else. Is that I'm honored to be a part of Positively Fearless, which is a community that's redefining what it means to live with HIV. You can join the movement and follow Positively Fearless on Instagram. I'm a spokesperson, and I am thrilled to be a part of this campaign with the people. And I love how Kamaria was just Kamaria, not Kamaria Laffrey. Everyone had a last name. Kamaria was like Cher and Madonna. First name only. If you use Kamaria, there's only one. You know what I mean? I was dying. I was like,
only
that's
one.
True. There is only one.
There is only
but, yeah.
one. I'm so glad. I am. It brings light to my soul every time I see Kamaria online. Just her smile and her light, her energy, what she brings to our tribe is unfounded. I love that woman to death, love her to death, and I'm so excited. All five of you, I'm very much looking forward to seeing the future videos that are going to come out and see where this campaign goes, just showing how we are, from the videos I've seen so far, it just shows how we are normal human beings living our lives positively with HIV, and we need more of that on mainstream.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, just to be a part of that, and it was funny because at the time they're like, yeah, well, we want you to do like, well, I don't want to tell too much about it, but as you can see, I obviously am playing soccer during the video, and it was nice. It was nice to get back out there on the pitch and kind of kick the ball around. But it's been a little bit since I've done it, so my body definitely felt it.
The videos already released, Robert. You still got your moves, bro. You still got your moves out there. Those feet are moving a whole lot faster than my feet can move. That's for sure.
Yeah, and didn't Guy look so sharp in that orange suit? Oh, that coat.
Yes,
nice.
And then J-Love, oh my goodness, J-Love and his dance. Very rarely do you come across a dancer that can instantly grab you the way that J-Love does and pull you in mm-hmm. on such an emotional level. Visually, he is amazing. He is amazing. And then good old Daniel, that man has got more talents than I've got in my pinky, I tell you. He also
funny.
Blows my mind. Yes.
Yeah, he's interesting. He's a very interesting guy. You got to definitely check out Daniel. So the campaign focuses on self-care, drug resistance, and you know, what we consider our risk, and fearlessly moving forward. And it's gonna, you know, obviously showcase five stories, and I'm one of them. So just look forward to it. Obviously, I'll be posting about it and sharing about it. But I just want to thank Janssen and Johnson & Johnson for allowing me to be a part of this. I mean, it's just for me. It was life-changing, and to be involved with everybody like Becky and Sarah and Ashley and Joshua and everyone who was there, it was just a great group of people. It was magic. It was purely, purely magic. So, and I got to, when I was there, Christina Aguilera performed on the Today Show, and I got to see her perform on the Today Show, so that was kind of nice.
That is really neat, really cool. Memories. But I would also like just a big shout-out and thank you to Johnson & Johnson and Janssen, and people like Becky and Caroline who have made this happen. It's going to be a great campaign, and I'm very much very excited about it and can't wait to see what comes from it.
Yes, me too. It's it should be very interesting, so stay tuned. And again, positivelyfearless.com. But again, most of the campaigns are going to be focused on Instagram, so you definitely want to go follow them if you're on Instagram at Positively Fearless. It's linked online if you go to the radio show or wherever you go to follow us, and you can find that out. It's going to be awesome. I'm so excited to be a part of it. It was nice because the video was released, and then I was at my family's, my uncle's party yesterday, and they were kind of oh my God, so that's what you were doing in New York. You know, that was your secret thing. And I was like, yeah, that was what was going on, because I really couldn't talk about it to anybody. So it was kind of like, this is what's happening and here it is. And, you know, it's cool because my family is, for the most part, very supportive. I mean, I would say 100% really. If they don't support,
good,
they don't really show it. So that's great.
Let's see.
Awesome.
And moving right along, I would also like to touch on the other topic that Josh brought up during the HIV scoop, talking about this VEEV, the injectable treatment.
Yeah.
It sounds very, very interesting. What I'm most excited about is knowing that how a lot of us living with HIV, there are lots of social determinants that come into play in getting our health care and being able to reach treatment to begin with. But I'm very excited to the fact at how this injectable will take a treatment, which currently we have to, you know, dose 365 days out of the year. And it will turn those 365 doses into just 12 a year. The burden that that will lift off of our shoulders is amazing. It is amazing.
I don't know. It kind of makes me... You like the idea of injectables?
You know... I don't like the. I'm one that I've never liked needles, but having lived with HIV for almost a decade now, and, you know, I still have to go in twice a year and get my blood drawn and all of that. If I could just get a shot a month and then not have to worry about, you know, traveling, you know, making sure that I've got my pills or waiting. For me, I use a pharmaceutical service that delivers my medication. There's been times that I've been stuck needing to leave to go somewhere for family emergencies, and I've had to stay at home for an extra day or two waiting for my pills to arrive before I could leave. So knowing the freedom that an injectable would give me is great, but you know, as with anything that is good, there are downsides, there are negatives to it, because I can also see, you know, there are people who already have trouble being able to adhere to an everyday regimen. I could, you know, at least with a pill a day, I remember it every morning. I would kind of be one worried, you know, am I going to remember to go every month to get this injectable? Mm-hmm. You know, there's things like that that come into play with the long-term treatment.
Nice.
Our good old buddies at Janssen, they are also, this is a collaboration with them. It's with Janssen Sciences Ireland. So,
mm-hmm.
So maybe we could get a little bit more insight from our buddies there at Janssen to see where this is going. But, it looks like they did this study of 618 men and women living with HIV, and it was done in Argentina, Australia, Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Mexico, Russia, South Africa, South Korea, Spain, Sweden,
wow,
and the U.S. So it was just a U.S.-based
study. It was highly studied.
Right. They were pretty – it looks like they were pretty thorough. So
yeah, I used to, it's funny because you were talking about needles, and before, you know, I was diagnosed, I hated needles. You know what I mean?
Right.
Especially when I used to have to like get it. Well, I like, you know, like obviously when you're given blood and stuff, you know, at your doctor's appointments now, but now it's second nature. I used to faint just the thought of it. You know what I mean? They used to make me lay down and they put like a tennis ball in my hand and I would have to squeeze the tennis ball. But now I just lay there and I just look at it, you know, like it's like nothing. It's like watching TV. I'm like, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, that is one thing. It just that you do kind of get over that fear, and
Yeah, it's crazy. So I want to talk about two of the events that are coming up. There's two amazing conferences. One of them, I can't believe you're going to be at both of them. I'll be at one of them, but one of them you're actually going to be being a big time panel speaker. So let's talk a little bit about the conference that you're going to be going to first. The USCA?
Coming United States Conference on AIDS, USCA, coming up September 5th through 10th in Orlando. I am honored this year that I will be speaking on a panel or two involving U equals U, or undetectable equals untransmittable. If you have not heard of U equals U, I urge you to go to U equals U, and that's U with equals spelled out, U.org, for more information. But yes, I'm going to be speaking on some panels. I'm mainly going to be speaking on kind of like the personal advocate side of getting entities such as health departments and other national organizations to see the importance of the U equals U message and how I got them to sign on. In my case, it was the Nashville Metro Public Health Department, and I also played a small hand in getting NACHO, the National Association of City and County Health Officials, which was 3,000 health departments from coast to coast, to sign on to the U equals U message. So that's what I will primarily be speaking on at this conference in Orlando. I wish you could be there.
I know. Come on, somebody, sponsor me, damn it. No. I'm looking at the website, right? The website is 2018USCA.org, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh, my God, like, this looks like a really big conference. Like, is this a conference for people that are positive, or is this more for, like, pharmaceutical people and things of that nature?
You know, Robert, last year was my first time to attend USCA, and I was kind of afraid it was going to be technical, but there are so many advocates. It is a very great meld where probably even better than – yeah, it's where the scientific community and the actual community of those of us living with HIV can come together, and we can kind of see what's going on within, say, like HRSA or with the CDC or all the other the HABs and all the other government organizations, but also pharmaceutical companies, other ASOs, where we can come and talk face to face. And there's a great sharing of information. And I was very impressed to see how these big organizations actually listen to those of us living with the virus. And I've just within the past year been able to see how, especially like the CDC, when it comes to U equals U, for example, how they've actually taken what we've said and put it into practice. So that has been exciting for me to be able to have a small hand in getting to have an effect on the way that the risk of transmission is communicated publicly and worldwide. So that has been amazing.
Yeah, it looks like a sort of like a smaller version of the International AIDS Conference that I've attended in 2012, which had a great vibe and energy, you know, throughout the professionals and, you know, us people living with HIV. It was a kind of a good blend, and it looks like a lot of fun. I'm totally jealous about it. And then I'm looking at the registration. I guess, do I see they offer scholarships? So that's good, because it seems a little bit pricey. That's why I asked what kind of conference it was, because the membership prices are between $600 and $800 and something dollars.
Right. Yeah.
That's why I was confused.
Well, I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful for my local planning council is sending me, since I said as one of the co-chairmen of the council, I'll be going to represent the planning council there as well. So I'm very grateful to even
That's
be
awesome.
Able to attend. It's like you said, it is a pricey conference.
Yeah, no, it looks like a lot of fun. And that's from the 6th to the 9th?
The 5th through the 10th. Yep, the 5th through the 10th.
Nice.
And then,
go ahead. What else is there? I mean, you went to it last year, right? You said for the first time?
Yeah, last year was my first time, and I was gobsmacked. I was truly blown away at the, like I said, at just the receptiveness and the openness of them, of these professionals, of the elites, quote unquote, actually listening to those of us living with the virus and what it's like, and them taking it to heart and incorporating it into their messaging. That means a lot to me as someone living with the virus. It meant a lot. So,
yeah, and plus, you know, a lot of times, real quick, I just want to say, you know, when going to these conferences, you also have to, us as, you know, those living with, you know, HIV or the health condition, usually, you know, we have to go open-minded and wanting to be open to these people. Because a lot of times when I was first diagnosed, I shut down, you know, like any kind of pharma because I thought it was like the enemy,
right.
You know what I mean? And I've grown to understand, you know, how things are. So just being open to that, because I remember going to Healthy Voices the first time, I was open, you know, but it was new. So I was very closed off. Where the second year when I went and we went together last year, this year, I got so much more out of it, you know what I mean, than I did the first year. So it was just really cool. You have to be open.
Yes. Well, and speaking of going from like expensive conference like USCA to a more affordable conference for those of us living with the virus, and possibly one of my absolute favorite HIV conferences ever in the United States is Positive Living, which is coming up the weekend. What are the dates? It's the weekend after USCA. The 12th?
12th, because I'm confused. I'm looking at the website now, and this says that it's – oh, hold on. My bad. I'm at the wrong month. Yes, it says it's September 14th to the 16th.
14th through the 16th, and it will be held at Fort Walton Beach in Florida. They have a hotel directly on the beach. It's only $125 for those of us living with the virus to attend. And it's the only conference that I know of this size that is put on by people living with HIV for those of us living with HIV. And I will never forget the first time I went to Positive Living and walking into a room not knowing anyone, but there are over 400 other people sitting in this room who I have at the time, the only thing I knew that I had in common with them was that we were HIV positive. And that was such a feeling of empowerment and a feeling of community that I hadn't up until that point ever experienced. And it was overwhelming. And it is still to this day, it's a place where I draw strength from knowing that I do have that community out there.
Yes, it is amazing. It's my favorite conference. It's the guy who actually runs the organization, Butch McKay, is actually negative, but a lot of the people who are involved are. But it is for those that are living with HIV, and I think that's what makes it so important. It's to connect with other people and find yourself. And it's a great place to start your activism. It's coming up in September, and actually next week, Butch will be joining me and Brady to talk about the 21st anniversary of Positive Living. It's going to be really incredible, so tune in next week to learn more about that. We're actually down to the last few seconds, so Brady, I want to thank you for hanging out with me again, and it's good to officially have you on board.
Robert, it's a pleasure. I appreciate you bringing me on, and I look forward to our future endeavors.
All right. So then, we'll talk next week.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
All right,
y'all have a great week.
You too. And for more information on the show, you can go to PauseIamRadio.com. And Brady, people can find you across the media. I've connected you and linked you. So we're going to add a page on the website for you as well. So, yeah. PauseIamRadio.com. And don't forget to go check out PositivelyFearless.com as well. All right, Brady, have a great rest of your Sunday and enjoy your week, man.
You too, Robert.
All right, bye-bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Pause I Am Radio, your dose of hope. Connect with the show at PauseIamRadio.com or on social media. And we'll see you next time.